in the open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this kid's pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
What's up, Bison fans, and welcome back to another episode of Bison Report Radio. This is the early morning, crank it out, USD NDSU preview that we are so pleased to bring you from sunny South Carolina and windy Fargo. How are you doing, Trev?
We're doing fantastic, Ross. Went and did a coffee run with my daughter, who I have sitting on my lap, which, of course, I know the fine viewers cannot see. So if you hear a two-year-old getting into something, a dog getting into something, it's because our two-week-old and the CEO of our household, Carla, are both sleeping. So I'm left in charge, which is not necessarily a good thing. And since we're having a family affair and while we're at it, me being from South Dakota, I'm going to share something publicly for the first time that a lot of people know, and it's probably not going to come to a surprise to most. But in the spirit of playing USD this week, had I stayed in my fine state of South Dakota to play collegiate football, I would have attended USD in Vermilion and not South Dakota State in Brookings. So there you have it.
And why is that? Because you had family that competed at South Dakota State. Why would you? Because who was it? Bob Nielsen at that time that was recruiting you, or who was at USD?
So I'm going to show my age a little bit. It was Ole Ed.
Oh, sure. Court.
So yeah, that was the one that recruited me. We can play in a little bit, sweetie. Okay. So yeah, that was one that recruited me, and for a couple of reasons. Number one, they actually offered me and South Dakota State didn't. So South Dakota State said I wasn't good enough to play there. So that's partially the reason. And had they did offer, I still wouldn't have gone there just because of how they recruited. It was really, really weird. And I had a cousin, so it's my dad's twin brother, his oldest daughter, her name's Stephanie, who actually now lives in Fargo with her husband, Jordan. She was an All-American track runner at USD.
Okay.
So I also have some family ties to South Dakota athletics.
So I want to kind of get in, Trev, because we want to just say at the start, you know, North Dakota State's a 20.5 point favorite today. So as far as Trevor and I getting into like the granular details of the game plan, I don't know as though this is the show for that. So I kind of want to talk a little bit more 20,000 feet instead of, you know, the picky details. How does a week like this go for the Bison where not necessarily following a loss and then a win, but I just mean like in general, you've played in games where, and we'll just use South Dakota State for an example, because they were often in the position that UND was just in. Nationally ranked pretty high, feeling good. Maybe some local media picking against you guys, that kind of thing. And you just beat up somebody, or maybe you and I don't care. You know, maybe you and I, same situation. They're coming in hot. They've got David Johnson. You know, you guys beat up on them when they're highly ranked. What's this week like after a win like that?
It is maintaining a tremendous amount of focus. And I'm going to allude a reference point that we've often said on this pod. 2012, we beat the absolute tar out of Youngstown. They came off a very convincing win over Pitt. And they were ranked number 3, we were ranked number one. It was the first time that I had seen people tailgate the night before outside the Fargo Dome. So that was pretty cool to see on Friday night meetings. And the game was over at halftime. And we got pretty high on ourselves. We thought we were pretty special. And the next week, we were humbled pretty quick by Shakir Bell. I believe that's the guy's name. Yep. Indiana State. Yep, Shakir Bell and company in Indiana State. We lost 17-14. And then the following week, played South Dakota at Howard Wood Field and started the 33-game win streak. So this is a similar instance of that. You had a number one versus number three. I think it was two versus three with the UND game.
Two versus four. Yep,
two versus four, yeah. But similar thing. It was in the Fargo Dome. You have two highly touted teams coming in, and it was a heavyweight title fight. And the boys in Fargo were victorious by a convincing knockout punch. And it's the same thing as losing to a same team twice. You never want to try to beat the same team twice. So after what they did to the Fighting Hawks, you've got to forget it and just move on. You have got to forget that, move on. You can't hang on to that and hang on to, hey, it's us versus the world. We were picked against. We want to show you. We will show you. And we will show you how good we are. You've done that. It's over. You've got to move on. And you have got to take another step forward, because if you don't, especially in this shortened season, like we've talked about every week here, you will get left behind. And you don't have room for errors, because you've already made a very, very big one with the Southern Illinois game. So you may be able to afford one more, depending upon how everything else shakes out in the Valley, but why leave it up for chance? So the main thing here is, don't get so caught up in last week's accomplishments and try to look at the next thing that you have. So you can only be as good as what you've done for me lately in the sport of football and in sports in general. So stay focused on the task at hand and don't be worried about what you've done, even to your credit that you more than deserve, against the Fighting Hawks, despite the fact you've had naysayers and people doubting you.
And how difficult is the focus part when, I mean, I think it's probably easier this season because the humbling experience already happened, and I think you're still being a little bit doubted. Like I think you and I, you know, I've mentioned that I think they're the favorite now. I think it's a lot less prohibitive than it was, you know, or has been. Like I certainly think there are ways NDSU doesn't win the championship this spring. I think there are definitely pathways to that. But they've already had their humbling experience. You know, they went out to Carbondale and got whipped by a team that just lost 44-3 to South Dakota State, which is that result. You know, I mean, the transitive property of football rarely applies. You know, you're different games, different matchups, different mental spaces for the team. You know, I know that game in Carbondale against NDSU after losing it to UND was absolutely the Saluki Super Bowl. But how difficult is it when you are 20.5-point favorites? And I know you guys probably didn't talk about the line, but you knew when the walk-on kids were going to be in the fourth quarter, and you knew when you were probably going to have a 20, 25, 28-point spread at the end. How difficult was it to get locked in?
More difficult, to put it lightly and to put it in a nutshell, more difficult than a rivalry or a playoff matchup. It's human nature. It really is. The biggest thing is you just don't – it's the most cliche thing in the world, and it's almost boring. Don't have a bad week of practice. Like, you can have a bad day. That can happen. But if you have a bad day, your next day better be phenomenal. That's just the way it rolls. If you put an entire week together that's terrible, you're going to lose a football game. Kind of, you tweeted out this morning that I woke you up, and then my response was, it's a scientific fact. Well, there's your scientific fact. If you have a bad week of practice, in a very competitive league like the Missouri Valley, you're going to have a loss. Indiana State, we had a terrible week of practice. Youngstown, 2011, we had a terrible week of practice. 2014, Northern Iowa, we had a terrible week of practice. Okay, so those all three resulted in losses. That's not a coincidence. So, yeah, I think if you do kind of deviate from that focus, maybe just a little bit, I mean, I'd be damned if I wasn't correcting that course within 24 hours. By meeting time, not even a full 24 hours. It's by the time you're in meetings the next day. So I would hope that that's the case. We didn't pay attention to the spreads. You know if you're favored or not, or yeah, you know, yep, maybe by a little bit more. But it's just making sure you're dominant. It's like an opportunity to have a highlight tape. Hold on a second, sweetie. I'll get it in just a minute, okay? Eventually, she'll be able to contribute to this. Maybe it'll one more year. Maybe when she turns three. But yeah, she's been a trooper this morning. But yeah, I mean, yeah, it's really not rocket surgery. It's no different than your job. It's no different than anything in life in general. If you're going to lose focus from it, you're not going to perform as well. And if you're not trying to look at the next thing and how you can improve, you're going to stay stagnant. So as long as they're just taking care of their duties throughout the week, it doesn't even have to be a tremendous week. Just as long as you're doing that, you will come out victorious in a week like this. We've seen crazier. You and I were talking right before we launched the pod this morning that we have seen crazier. 2015. I know Carson got hurt and was playing with a broken hand, but who saw that coming? And they started up 14-0.
Yeah.
It was 14 rip. And so I don't think I've ever talked about that game specifically with any of the guys. I was of course a part of it. That was the first year I was removed from playing, but it would be interesting to know what they were doing in the middle of that contest. Were they resting on their laurels after they got up 14-0 against an inferior opponent? I don't know. They had already lost to Montana that year, so they knew they were capable of losing a football game. So that'd be interesting to know. But yeah, that being said, long-winded rant to boil it down in a nutshell, like I've repeated, stay focused on your 1/11th. And you're clearly the superior team, so you're going to win more battles than you'll lose as long as you're more than halfway focused.
Yeah, and I think that's a big deal for this year because I think this team has stuff to work on. And what I mean by that is, like, this is not the best version of the Bison. Even the Bison that kicked the absolute dog out of UND is not the best version of the Bison that we're going to see this year. This race to maturity that Coach Entz keeps talking about is very real. And so when you do get an opportunity to be heavily favored, I'm not saying you don't game plan to beat USD, because you absolutely do game plan to beat USD. But once you are up 14 or 17 or 20, if they're fortunate enough to get there, you do have the opportunity to get some other kids in, or you do have the opportunity to work on some stuff that maybe you haven't pulled out in a game. You do have the opportunity to maybe get the passing game into a little bit of a rhythm, even though throwing while you're up big might not sound like it makes sense. I'm just talking about the ability to, once a game is secured, get better. And that's what they are going to need to do. And honestly, it's a big week. They're probably not looking ahead to South Dakota State, but everybody knows that. Everybody knows that now SDSU, after pounding Southern Illinois, is the number one threat to the Missouri Valley Football Conference Championship. And they are coming into your house next week. So it does create an opportunity for yet another 60 minutes for this young group of Bison to mature. It gives 60 minutes to Luke Wirtz, who is now the starting Mike. It gives 60 minutes to continue to give reps and make Zeb Nolan comfortable, or continue to advance the maturation of Cam Miller. So these are, whatever you think of the, if this does end up being a blowout, whatever you think of junk time, I promise these live reps against another helmet are important either way. So
go look at, sorry to touch on that.
No, go ahead.
Go look at the statistics of Carson Wentz in his junk time.
Yeah.
Go look at it. I promise if you have not seen it, if you're listening, I promise you, go look it up and report back what you find. I guarantee it, you'll be shocked. And it's things that are happening right in front of your very eyes and you don't even realize it's happening. It's a perfect, this week is a perfect killer instinct game. Find that killer instinct, put the dagger in them, turn the dagger, and then drive it further. And when you do that, you will build upon the confidence that you had last week of playing to your ability level to keep that step forward, because this team in particular, I think Coach Entz is saying it best, saying a race to maturation. This group has to improve every week.
Yeah.
Being that young, the quarterback has to improve every week. So having a game like this with an inferior opponent in pretty much all aspects, game plan simple. Like Ross said, we're not going to really dive into it. Game plan simple. Establish the run, do it early and often. South Dakota's given up over 200 rush yards a game. Let me go back and actually look at it to find the exact number. Scrolling through here on the game notes.
Oh, yeah, they're giving up 219 yards a game. I've got the stats here. And this is why, folks, if you want the quick version of why NDSU is favored by so much today, it's really simple. The offense runs for 2.4 yards per game, and they just lost a starting veteran offensive lineman for the rest of the year. They're now starting multiple freshmen on the interior of the offensive line. They have two juniors that aren't that good at tackle. They're going to struggle to get folks blocked. And Kai Henry is actually a decent back. I like Kai Henry quite a bit, but he just doesn't have anywhere to go. Even whether you do or don't have the return of Lane Tucker this week, it might not matter. And then on the defensive side of the ball, they are giving up 4.9 yards a carry. And that's to teams that aren't as talented running the football as North Dakota State. So you're going to see probably a lot of Yotes sort of whipping off the back of Hunter Luepke as he storms down the field, I think. And that's why you have a matchup problem.
This is why I love being on the media side, because you can bring stuff like this up. Is Tyler Rolls 263 in jeopardy today?
Yeah, that's a great question.
No, I'm actually like legitimately, yeah. And I'm glad this is launching on game day. Because
yes, you won't have a chance to listen.
Exactly. So I don't have to field any answers. So
sure. My guess would be no, just because they got TK Marshall a carry last week. He's a very talented back from the Twin Cities. Super, super talented kid. I think by the end of all that's said and done, we'll have another discussion about the Gophers whiffing on an in-city kid. I think TK Marshall has a chance to be that good. And then you add, of course, in the Dom Ganella carries and the Jalen Bussey carries and the Kobe Johnson. I don't know if Kobe's healthy, but Bussey, Ent said Bussey was available for UND. They just kind of punted on that so he could be ready, more ready for the rest of the season. So you've still got three other backs. You've still got the Cam Miller running package in there. I think if you told me, you know, you could guarantee 30 carries for Hunter. Yeah, maybe we would have a little danger zone there, but I just think they're going to, try and work on the pass game a little bit and spread out the carries. I think they've got, if Kobe really is out, I think they will probably try to work in this young TK Marshall a little bit as well. So, but yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you're giving up 4.9 a carry if you're USD. I would guess that gets NDSU adjusted to like 6.5 a carry, you know, for the Bison, if not 7. So it could get ugly in the trenches.
Well, I'm thinking, okay, if Luepke gets loose on two of them early,
yeah, you know, right,
for 50, 60 plus, I mean, you're talking 110, 120. In the first quarter, where does it go from there? So yeah, I think you probably, you know, you'd probably try to get some other guys involved or try to hit on some few things or a few wrinkles that you haven't quite hit on in practice yet and give it different looks. But Yeah, that'd be interesting. I want to see Dom Gannella get loose. I think it's time. I want to see him get loose. You know, he's a young cat that's developed nicely. It's time for him to get loose. There's a race to maturation thing to watch for today, just to build depth in that running back room. We don't know the status on Colby. I haven't heard anything. I don't know if you have. No, knee brace and crutches is never spells.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not usually great when the kid's on in a brace and on crutches. You know, I was on vacation. I think he was asked about it and gave the standard answer, which I think they probably schedule Matt's meetings with the training staff for after that press conference on purpose so that he doesn't have to lie to people.
That's so usually how it goes.
Yeah, so he could just walk into the press room and say, guys, look, I don't know anything. It's like, okay, great, I bet. Yeah. But, you know, it's a big race for maturity, too, for the guy I mentioned earlier, Luke Wirtz. The Mike linebacker is a big deal. I mean, you played with some great ones, including Gio. You know, when your Mike goes down, it means a lot. And I think, you know, because you obviously were on the team when Gio shredded his knee. And I think Hanky was probably, this is pure speculation and maybe a little irresponsible speculation, but you just saw him put his head down when he made a tackle. So to me, that's a stinger or a concussion, which those aren't non-serious injuries, but that's usually like a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, not a 9-month ACL reconstruction. So you might see him again, but with Wirtz, what excites me and I think what can excite the rest of the fan base is just the fact that this kid is A1A, man. This kid is as highly recruited as it gets. We talked about, and I'm going to pull it up here, but we've talked about the, you know, all-time recruits in NDSU history. And of course, you know, there's some misses as there always are. There's some misses with our system, but more often than not, you know, we hit pretty high. And behind Cam Miller, who was about an 85 grade 3-star, there's an 84.7 grade 3-star, and Luke Wirtz is the number 2 recruit in NDSU football history. So that's a big deal. And you know, the top 10 includes some pretty great players. And like I said, some whiffs, but you know, there's Noah Gindorf, there's Trey Lance, there's Greg Menard. There's, you know, there's some 3-stars that made some sense on this list. But Luke is the number 2 recruit in the history of North Dakota State from our point of view at 24/7 Sports. Offer from Ball State, offer from Cincinnati, offer from Air Force, and the big one that everybody knows about is head-to-head with Kansas State, chose North Dakota State. Head-to-head with the Big 12. That's before Klieman got there, but head-to-head with the Big 12, wanted to be a Bison. So for this kid to get the whole call sheet, to get the entire 60 plays of defense or however many they're going to play, after really kicking ass against UND, be excited to watch 47 today. It's gonna be fun. He might put on a show.
This, yeah. So this is one of those show out games. So a lot of people remember Jabril Cox.
Yep.
At Youngstown.
Yes.
This would be a similar type of instance. This is a show out game for him. So perfect opportunity against an inferior opponent, for lack of a better term. So time to show up, bud.
Is this, so if I remember correctly, was it DeLuca that stepped in for Grant?
I believe so. I can't remember. Grant got hurt at Youngstown. No, Illinois State at home.
Okay.
Illinois State at home.
Yeah, I do remember that the injury was at home. I remember that.
Okay, it'd be Illinois State because I think we were at home against Illinois State that year. Because that was my junior year, so 2013. So, but yeah, DeLuca, I believe that would have been DeLuca.
Because he would have been a true
freshman. He would have been a true freshman. His true freshman year was my junior year.
Probably played a lot of nickel with Carlton and Travis then. But anyway, we're kind of in a similar situation. Obviously, Wirtz is not a true freshman, but there's some similarities, I think, between Gio and Hanky in that they're not the most athletically gifted humans in the world, but they're tough as hell and smart as hell. And then you have, on the other side, Nick DeLuca looked like when he arrived at NDSU, he looked like he was dropped from heaven by God to play linebacker.
Quick story on him. So with our summer conditioning, it's broken up into different time slots. So our hardest conditioning, it's not really a test, but it's definitely, there's a mental component to it. We call it patterns. Well, it's broken down by position group. So the receivers and quarterbacks, and I think running backs went. And then after that group was like linebackers and DBs and I think old linemen. Well, you're encouraged to stay to encourage your teammates because these patterns are, to put it lightly, physically and mentally brutal. It is tough. No matter how many times you've done it, it is awful. And you're fighting through a lot. I hadn't seen Nick yet. I had no idea who he was. And I stayed back and I was down with in the linebacker group. And there's three different groups that go. So usually it's like the older guys, so the younger guys can watch the rep in front of them and then so on and so forth. Well, the third group takes off and they're jogging back and Nick's a part of this because he was an incoming true freshman. Now remember, I haven't seen this kid yet. I don't know who he is. And he jogs back, stops, turns around to get ready for the next rep. And I'm like, what is this big drink of water doing here? I'm like, this kid's developed. He looks pro ready. And he's 18 years old. He might have even been 17. I don't know. But I remember seeing that and going, this cat's going to be special. I don't know. Got on his tangent there. But the first time seeing him and just his physical attributes was very impressive.
Well, he looked different. I mean, I think he's the best Tampa 2 Mike they've ever had. The way he just kind of patrolled the middle of the field with that length, snatching passes, breaking stuff up. He was something else, man, especially at the FCS level. He was something else. But that's kind of what I'm talking about. Like, Hanky is a good player. He is a face of the franchise kind of dude. He's a North Dakota native. He's tough as nails, locker room leader, great kid, very well spoken. All of the things that you would have exactly said about Grant Olson outside of North Dakota kid, because, you know, Gio's from the cities. But then he gets replaced once he gets hurt by this super duper three-star, you know, not that he's, because Wirtz isn't huge like DeLuca was, but he's a big deal. Like, Luke is a big deal. So that's something I'm really interested to watch today. But call your shot, Trev, because we've gone on about this game long enough. There's just not a lot to talk about. I mean, the primary functions of these two teams are a bad matchup. Not being able to run the ball and not being able to stop the run is a problem when you have North Dakota State on the schedule.
Yeah, it usually is. And we even said that beforehand. We're like, what are we going to talk about? We're not going to give any breaking news today. Game plan's very simple. And anything that deviates from that would be a surprise. So, and very unpredictable if that were to occur. So not even a loss, just even something that if NDSU is not able to establish a ground game early and often, that would be a shock. So definitely don't foresee an upset today. That humbling experience, like you mentioned earlier, has already occurred. I'm thinking along the lines of a 45 to – I'm going to give a weird number just because I feel like that today. I'm going to say 45-9.
Okay. Yeah, I said 38-10 yesterday on the radio, and that's what I'm going to stick with. All right, folks. Before we go, we got to promote our boys over there at Rise Training and Fitness, Moorhead, Minnesota. Our guy, Chase Morlock, started this actually in his garage. His mom wanted to do some training. Well, Chase was at another job, and so he set up their garage and started training his mom and her friends, and realized that there was kind of a hole for personal training like that, some group training and stuff like that. And he and his buddy Aaron Lean, who was a star at Minnesota State University Moorhead after playing at Moorhead High, have started Rise Training and Fitness in Moorhead and have expanded their business not only to adult fitness, but also college and high school age athletes. They will do sport specific stuff. They're just doing a great job over there and making sure to keep it safe with COVID-19 restrictions and managing class sizes, sterilizing everything. They're doing a really, really good job over there. And we want you to check them out at Rise Training and Fitness. Before we go, folks, I'm going to hit you with a little bit of just a Summit League roundup. And I hope everybody understands how insane the transfer portal has been. If you are not paying attention to the transfer portal, Stanley Amude, which we kind of knew the Stanley thing was happening because USD did a very cool like senior day thing for him when the second game of that USD series. So we kind of knew that was happening, but Stanley Amude has hit the portal. UND's three top scorers, including Summit League Freshman of the Year, Tyree Iheanacho, and their superstar big, Philip Rabracha, have all hit the transfer portal. So interesting situation. Also, folks, inside info, right around lunchtime today, there will be a commitment to North Dakota State basketball. Just letting you know, there will be a commitment to North Dakota State basketball right around lunch. That's inside info. Just keep your eyes peeled. Stay on Twitter. Stay on Twitter, folks.
You've got my attention.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah.
So anyway,
I'm going to be tuned in. I'm going to be tuned in at noon.
that's your Summit League roundup. Massive transfer portal stuff. Nothing new for North Dakota State. We expect the top eight to be back, and those who weren't the top eight kind of hit the portal. So the Bison are interesting. And then, you know, we'll see what happens, guys. I think with, you know, South Dakota State, my guess is Douglas Wilson will not return. Absolutely no one knows what's going on with Noah Friedel, but none of the other studs at SDSU have hit the portal. No Baylor Shireman, no Alex Arians. They're all so far staying in Brookings as the portal just ravages mid-major basketball. But the one to watch, obviously, guys, is what happens in Tulsa after this run of theirs ends. I would guess Paul Mills is going to be up for a couple of jobs. I would guess that every high major in the world is going to be looking to drop an envelope full of cash for Max Asmus. And I would bet his buddy Kevin O'Banner is not far behind him. I would say there would need to be some type of miracle for Mills, O'Banner, and Asmus all to be back in Oral Roberts after this much national exposure.
So, yeah, I know we typically don't talk about hoops, but March Madness hoops I absolutely love. And it would have been awesome to get Nate on this morning to get his intake. If Mills stays, it's one of those things where, like, it's such a – it's almost like an out-of-body experience for those guys maybe.
Yeah.
If Paul Mills stays by some miracle, I think you see those guys stay in Tulsa. That's just my two cents.
Yeah.
I'm not a hoops guru by any means, right, but I feel like it's such a positive experience on their life that it's almost like it's hard to let that go.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think? Do you think they move?
Well, I don't think Paul will stay.
Okay.
I've made no bones about it. Okay. I don't like Paul Mills, and I don't think a lot of people like Paul Mills. This aw shucks guy, wait till he loses. You'll lose the aw shucks real quick. I mean, I think Paul Mills cares about Paul Mills, and that's about it. And maybe, you know, I'm just being the typical media member where when a guy's a dick to the media, you don't like him. But he's a special kind of rude to people, and I just see him as a very selfish person and somebody that understands that this is the time to get his bag. And I would guess he'll go get the bag. That's just my guess.
Well, if he wins tonight.
Yeah.
He's gone. He'll be gone.
He's going to be the head coach at Oklahoma if he wins tonight, or the head coach at Texas or something, or the head coach at Texas Tech when Chris Beard gets the bag from one of those other schools. And I joke somewhat about, you know, people bribing Max Asmus. I'm not saying that there won't be offers made, because there will, but I just think, you know, Max will get, if he wants, he'll get Duke, Carolina, Kentucky. He Max would have the opportunity to go to the bluest of the bloods.
Right.
OU would call, Texas would call, Chris Beard at Texas Tech would call. He could play wherever he wants. And that's an interesting carrot to throw out to a kid that has played in front of 2,000 people at the Maybe Center his entire career. Okay. Especially next year when fans are probably going to be back as we continue to get this country vaccinated. I don't know. But I will say this too. There's no guarantee. I promise you, there's no guarantee that Oral wins the league if all three of those guys come back.
Yeah, it's a competitive league. I don't know it top to bottom like you do, but it's one of those things where hoops is a game of streaks, not only within the game itself, but just in terms of like momentum of winning. After they're tipping against South Dakota State, it's like,
yeah,
they've felt invincible since that moment or something.
Right.
You know? So yeah, I think you're exactly right. You get hot at the right time. I mean, I think the boys in Fargo, as long as Dave stays, knock on one, fingers crossed. And you know, I don't know anything, but that appears to be the case. But as long as Dave's still around, I think those guys have a chance. You know, looking at it from a green and gold lens, yeah, Brookings is always tough.
They're bringing back, I mean, this NDSU team's going to be pretty special. They're bringing back their top eight. You know, like I said, the guys that transferred out, and I disagreed about his use of Jackson Notek, but like the fact is his top eight guys for minutes played are all coming back, and they're adding the biggest recruit in the history of men's basketball. And that's a little bit different than football, because when you have a really good freshman in hoops, he plays. And frankly, he probably starts. I mean, that's the level of player that this Andrew Morgan kid is. And I just think with the experiences that these guys had and just bringing back the entire group and then adding a nationally ranked top 200 player, they're going to be really tough to beat. I don't care if Asmus and O'Banner do return. Now, they're going to be really tough to beat too. I mean, it's going to be a war. And yeah, you could certainly see a situation, even if Douglas Wilson is gone, Dentlinger's not gone, Friedel might return, you never know, where the Bunnies throw themselves into that too. So it's going to be a hell of a year. And honestly, too, as much as I don't like Paul Mills, he did stand for the Summit League at his press conference, talked about how good they were at effective field goal percentage, talked about the fact that this is now their fourth tournament win in the last 7 years. People, I think, are starting to realize how good of a league we have.
I don't know what the non-conference schedule looks like next fall, early winter, but is it possible, another media question, is it possible that the Summit League is a two-bid league? Or do you think that's going to take a few years yet? It's going to take maybe a year, like, you know, this year, next year.
It would take a few years. And you would just have to have such a strong, because it's not like the women, you know, where you would have to have a team like Oral Roberts coming off of this, and they would have to get one or two. Because even when like NDSU had beaten Notre Dame, they were still not probably going to get into the tournament if they don't beat. And I think their RPI was like 45 or something. But they were still not going to get into the tournament in 2014 if they lose that game to IPFW. So that's what you'd need. I mean, you'd need a Bison team or an Oral Roberts team to, you know, go like 8-2 in the non-conference and win two high major games and lose two high major games, and then probably go like 14-2 in the Summit and have a 24-4 record and then lose in the Summit League title game. You know, like it's they're a ways away, but I could see it if NDSU keeps doing what they're doing, Oral Roberts keep doing what they're doing, and South Dakota State maintains themselves in the conversation. But the Summit just has to get more consistently better against, and it's not even just the high major games too. When they play Valley schools, when they play these high level group of fives, you know, opponents, not always just the Power Five, but when they go up, if you will, like if NDSU played against Northern Iowa, they need to win that game, not lose it by eight. You know what I'm saying? They have to beat those. They have to win games in those mid-major leagues that are getting two, three teams into the tournament.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think too, having, you mentioned three teams, Oral Roberts, North Dakota State, South Dakota State, you know, whatever the mix is, but I think you've got to have, because that's what the women have done in the Summit. You've got,
yeah,
you've got a handful of teams that are like brands. Like people understand right. that there's two or three teams that are going to be competitive every year. You got coaches with reputable names. not just one or two, but you have two, maybe three, and that have stayed. They've each won a couple conference championships. And then you've got a couple teams that have, you know, won a game within the NCAA tournament within like a year or two. Not okay, NDSU beats Oklahoma in 2014, and then the next win is Oral Roberts this year. So I do think it makes a statement, though. I mean, you've got the best scorer in the nation in a Sweet 16 run, and a team that just plays really well. I think they run into a buzzsaw against Arkansas, personally. But yeah, that's gonna be fun to watch.
Speaking of places, Mass Asmus could end up, and that's Transfer University on the must bus with Arkansas. That you could be looking at Max's future team. Eric Musselman loves him some transfers. All right, folks. This has been the style of play. Yeah,
I was gonna say it fits style, same style of play.
This has been Hoops with Trevor and Ross. All right, guys, enjoy the game today. We'll be back with you early in the week to break down what certainly appears to be a Bison victory.